Thomas Hauser is author of Arnold Palmer, A Personal Journey. Thomas Hauser joined Stephen Brunt and myself on the Jeff Blair Show. Thomas, thanks so much for joining us this morning. You know, Ian O'Connor of ESPN wrote a terrific piece on Arnold this morning and talked about sort of the two Arnolds. You know, I mean, people talked about sort of the cuddly, grandfatherly guy, but his point was, hey, you know what? I mean, Arnold, he said Arnold Palmer, if Tiger Woods was a tiger, Arnold Palmer was a lion. Arnold Palmer wanted to beat you. Tell us a little bit about Arnold Palmer, the person, and Arnold Palmer, sort of the public figure later in his life.
Well, people saw what they wanted to see in Arnold. Everybody from people in corporate boardrooms to workers in the steel mills of Pennsylvania looked at Arnie and saw themselves, and that was part of his success. Now, in reality, Arnold was very conservative politically.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine Arnold being rude to a fan or a waiter or a cab driver. He could be hard on the people who were around him sometimes, but he was a great competitor, and I don't think any athlete ever, with the possible exception of Babe Ruth, did as much for a sport as Arnold Palmer did for golf. With Arnold, what you saw was what you got. He was very straightforward in the way he went about his life. He expressed his opinions openly. And for me, it was a joy to spend time with him when I was working on the book. And it's also been a hard year for sports fans and for myself personally, in that 3 months ago, Muhammad Ali died, and now mm-hmm. Arnold Palmer. And those are two titans of sports, and we're not going to see their like again anytime soon, if ever.
Tom, when Arnold Palmer came on the scene in the late 1950s, came on the scene in golf, it seems to have been, you know, as almost as revolutionary a moment as Tiger Woods coming to golf, then for, you know, different reasons. Can you explain what it was?
More revolutionary.
Okay.
In a sense. When Arnold Palmer came on the scene, golf really wasn't on most people's radar screens. At one end of the spectrum, you had country club golfers, and golf really was thought of as an elite sport. And at the other end of the spectrum, you had the touring pros who also shot quite a bit of pool on the side very often in order to make ends meet. You know, Sam Snead, in addition to being a great golfer, was a pretty good pool hustler. And then here came Arnie, who was the perfect vehicle for television to bring sports to the masses, the sport of golf to the masses. You know, one of the very difficult things about televising golf in that era was you had a relatively small black and white screen. You had this tiny little ball that was hit off into the distance. TV wasn't nearly as advanced technologically then as it is now. And Arnold was the perfect solution to that. The camera could focus on Arnold because he was so telegenic and so charismatic. And when he hit it big, in those days, TV would only cover the last four holes of majors. They didn't do all 18. They'd have their cameras at 15, 16, 17, and 18. And there would be times when Arnold was behind by 8 or 9 strokes going into the last round, and the networks would prevail upon the tournament sponsors to place Arnold in the final twosome or threesome, whatever it was, simply so fans would stay tuned to the entire telecast so they could see Arnold.
How significant was the fact, in terms of kind of the Arnold myth, that you know, again, I'm not saying it wasn't true, but just that people bought into, that he was not a country club guy, that he was a working class guy, that his dad was a greenskeeper, you know, that he wasn't one of the privileged few.
It wasn't just a myth. I mean,
yep.
Jack Nicklaus grew up in a privileged family. They belonged to a country club in Ohio, and Jack certainly was a great golfer and worked very hard to achieve everything he accomplished. But Arnold's father was initially the greenskeeper, and then when the Depression came and the club fired the pro, he took both those jobs on, so he was the greenskeeper and the club pro. Arnold learned to play golf on that course at night after the members had left. It was not a privileged upbringing in any sense of the word. That was part of his appeal. Here was a guy, you know, the same way that part of Tiger Woods' appeal and the Williams sisters' appeal was that they were people of color who were succeeding in what had previously been largely white sports. Arnold was every man. He was a guy who came from a working-class family who was succeeding in an elitist sport. And he played golf like every man. You know, it's been said again and again in the past few hours. His philosophy of golf was hit it hard, go find it, and hit it hard again. Now, golf is a much more subtle game than that. But when you saw Arnold play on the golf course, the joy or pain of every shot registered on his face, he would go for broke every chance he got. It was an experience watching Arnold Palmer play golf.
What you talked about his father, the greenskeeper, who eventually went on to become the club pro. His father was also very, very hard on Arnold. Was there ever, I don't know if you'd say resolution to that relationship, but how did that relationship eventually play out?
It was a difficult relationship in some respects. Arnold adored his father. He looked up to him, and of course it was his father who put the first golf club in his hands. But Deacon Palmer drank to excess at times. There were times when he was hard on Arnold in ways that weren't part of the Arnold Palmer legend. But, you know, lots of people grow up in families like that, and you resolve it, and Arnold certainly came to terms with it.
His public persona was impeccable, Tom. Like, and again, I only met him a couple of times, but, you know, everybody would say the same thing, right? That his kind of willingness to sit and endlessly sign autographs or deal with the press, you know, was that something he learned along the way, or did that kind of emerge naturally?
That's who he was. Arnold Palmer, like Muhammad Ali, was a people person. He loved talking with people. I remember a moment in Washington, D.C., I think it was 1993, the Smithsonian Institute was honoring five great athletes of modern America. Arnold and Muhammad actually were two of them. I think the others were Ted Williams, Chris Everett, and the fifth escapes me at the moment. It'll probably come back to me. But I was down in Washington for the celebration, and on a Saturday afternoon, Arnold Palmer and I went to the Aerospace Museum at the Smithsonian. Arnold, as you know, was an avid pilot and a very good pilot, a very serious pilot, and he wanted to visit the museum. And from time to time, people would come up to him and say, "Excuse me, are you Arnold Palmer?" And he'd say yes, and he'd shake hands with them and sign autographs. This was before everybody had a smartphone for selfies. And Arnold didn't mind that. What he said to me is that, there are times when I go out and I'd rather be left alone, but people who come up to me are nice. And I understand that a great deal of the many good things in life that I have today, including my financial situation, are a result of my relationship with the public. So if I don't want to be bothered, I just stay home. But he was unfailingly polite to people who came up to him in that respect. And he was a role model for other golfers. If you talk to people like Lee Trevino and Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus, who came along around the same time and a little later, what they were always told when they came on the tour was study this man, see how he respects the game of golf, interacts with the public. That's who your role model should be.